Blog Talk Radio.
Wheels of steel, leather steering wheel. On this ride, your loud silence makes me ill. Two lefts when all I needed was one right. Insult to injury, my skin you peel to see if I'm real. Like salt in an open wound, your deafening silence is killing me. Time flies by. Again and again, you pretend not to see me cry. Inside yourself, I hear you lie. Love, the ultimate obstacle of this earth. Sometimes I wonder if it really gets worse. Two dimes, one nickel, and a quarter spent. A penny with a hole in it. Makes me reconsider my worth. To travel so far and never cross the street. Still, I long to hear you speak.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to Real Talk Radio with none other than your host, the fabulous, the magnificent Kay Sherelle. I am so excited to be on the air with you. Oh, my, how I have missed you all so dearly. I'm so thankful that you are tuning in into this segment, and I'm so excited about it because none other than best-selling author is on the air with me today, Melissa Foster. Cannot wait to talk to her. So excited. I hate I missed you last week. Oh, my goodness. It was the week of all weeks. I had the toothache from hell. Like, that's as nicely as I can put it. It was a toothache that could bring tears to your eyes. And mind you, I sat in labor for 30 hours having my son, and I never cried. I cried with this toothache, and I'm not ashamed to say it. Then my son, of course, in true fashion, speaking with his mommy, he got an ear infection and bronchitis. So I had to cancel on you last week, but no worries, because I am here with you this week, and I cannot wait to continually join you for the remainder of the 2012 year. Yesterday was December 12th, and apparently it was a very big deal to many people. And I can admit it's the last triple digit, you know, date that we will see in our lifetime, 12, 12, 12. And I was just thinking today, wow, I've seen all of them 1 through 12. But, you know, there were people racing to have their babies yesterday, and someone that I'm friends with on Facebook announced that her nephew was born on 12-12-12 at what? 12-12 p.m. I was like, oh, my goodness, if they name this child 12, I will be on sensory overload. Oh, wow. So let's talk about some of the things that we missed. There were a couple of things I really wanted to talk about last week, and I wasn't able to, so we're just going to cram them in and then move to our break and bring Melissa right on the air. So, of course, in true fashion, Bobby Christine, or Chrissy as she is known, her and her fiancé, boyfriend, you know, half-brother type thing broke up. You know, he got his 15 minutes of fame. She got hers. Oh, they used that time wisely. Jessica Simpson is pregnant. Oh, wow. Who would have ever thought that would be, you know, so fast? But she's pregnant again. Kim Kardashian, never to be outdone or left out, is what? Pregnant with twins. And we have our first little bump pictures of Princess Kate. Or I believe she's called Duchess Kate, is actually pregnant. I cannot wait. A royal baby. I'm sure it's going to be the biggest, you know, splash since Blue Ivy was born earlier this year. But lots of pregnancies, lots and lots of pregnancies. I say get it in the 2012 and let your baby be a product of 2013. Let's go. All up under the Obama administration, keep popping out the babies. Very interested, though, to see what Kim Kardashian looks like pregnant. I'm sorry. I will admit it. I am very, very, very interested to see those baby bump pictures. Not to mention all of the wonderful you know, things I'm sure her and Kanye are going to buy this baby because they both love to spend money and they both love the camera. So I'm sure we will get baby pictures very on as soon as the little bundles are out of the oven. Now, this headline really sort of caught me off guard. And, you know, when something catches my eye, I have to talk about it very quickly with all of you. Why? Because I love you. Yes. So there was this story about majors you should avoid majoring in college because employers are simply not interested in that degree, and it will make it harder for you to get a job. And some of these majors were, I don't know. I would have to say I can agree with some of them, and some of them I can kind of disagree with. The first one on the list is architecture. And apparently no one is interested in you earning your degree in architecture anymore. And I'm not really sure why that is. I mean, if it's just because of the recession or what have you. But they're saying not to major in architecture, but instead get a degree in business administration. Now, I thought that business administration would make the list because everyone majors in business. I don't really know anyone that's majoring in architecture, but I'm sure apparently if it made the list, someone is definitely doing it. Now, it also says, number two, do not major in philosophy or religious studies. And as soon as I read that, that's really what sort of caught my eye because most of you know my husband is currently attending a Christian university. So I'm thinking the majority of the students there are majoring in some type of religious study. And according to the internet, as we've all seen the State Farm commercial, this is true. You all need to change your major right away. No one is interested in your philosophy degree or your religious study. Instead, they say major in elementary education, not making a connection there at all. Very, very weird, this list, but hey, it's interesting. So we have to talk about it. Number three, anthropology or archaeology. And I'm like, maybe, yeah, I can sort of see it, maybe not. Instead, it's a major in criminal justice. Criminal justice is always a good major. I think it's really depending on what you want to do. Who knows? But if that's your major, hey, you might want to make a little switch. Area of ethnic or civilization studies is number four. And this was really big, I know, in the 80s when there was starting to be sort of that movement of students attending college. You know, a lot of, you know, second career studies or whatever, and people were going back and getting, you know, African studies and, you know, Native American studies. That was a very big thing to be the expert on those sorts of things. And instead, they say major in psychology. I love psych. I have 2 degrees in psych. Love psych. Am I a psychologist now? No, I am not. So who knows? This list is just for fun. Could be, maybe not. Information systems. Now, I know several people that majored in information systems, but according to the list, it is not a good major, and you should major in computer science. Ah, well, what do they know? They're just writing stuff for the internet. But I thought it was cute and funny. Last little headline in our current event section today, Susan Rice withdraws from being Secretary of State. Well, I mean, she wasn't actually Secretary of State. Let me correct that. She was one of the nominations. She is the president's first pick, and she withdrew her name today. So it's going to be very interesting to see who actually ends up with this position and who has beef about it. But those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk Radio with your host, Kay Sherelle. We're about to take a very quick break, and as soon as we come back, I will be on the air with none other than best-selling author Melissa Foster. I cannot wait. I will be right back. Stay tuned.
Wet Whispers is book 2 in the book poetry series by poetess Kimberly Sherelle. Wet Whispers is about being honest about your emotions and speaking up. Too often in life, we allow others to mute our unique voice and speak for us. A mute individual will never be a truly happy individual. Wet Whispers is a book of hope. hope that regardless of the situation, if you start being emotionally honest with yourself and others, your situation can change. However, in order for this positive change you seek to take place, you must be heard. This is what Wet Whispers is all about, being heard. Start your journey today. Purchase a copy of Wet Whispers. Wet Whispers is available on Amazon.com and SherrellInc.com. That's SherrellInc.com. Book one of this series is also available.
All right. Thank you for staying on the air with me. And those of you who are just tuning in, this is Real Talk Radio with your host, Kay Sherrell. So excited because I'm bringing on the air with me right now, author Melissa Foster. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing, Kimberly?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Can you hear me just fine?
I can. I was listening to all of the headlines. You cover everything from celebrity pregnancies to what we should study in college. It was wonderful.
Yes, well, you know, I'm that person. I go to a restaurant, and I cannot really order an entree. I order, like, the sampler with a little bit of everything on there. So that's how my show gives you a little bit of everything.
Love it. I love it.
So I'm so thankful that you were able to reschedule for this week. I feel so bad I had to reschedule last week, but I was not able to talk until about Saturday afternoon.
Oh, no worries at all. I listened as you were opening the show, and I heard all about how poorly you were feeling, and I'm really sorry. I'm glad that you're feeling better.
Thank you. So let's just dive right into it. I would like to know how many different hats you wear.
On any given day? Well, let's see. I'm a mom and wife, as you know, and we've got a bunch of kids, and only two of them are still at home. We have kids who are also in college and some have graduated college and some are in graduate school. And so I play the mom and wife role, of course. And then I'm an author, so I do write. And then I run the World Literary Cafe, Fostering Success, and the Women's Nest. So I've got lots of different business hats that I wear. And then part of that is that I also run a number of different author groups and support groups and blogging groups so that I can help authors and bloggers sort of connect and learn how to promote themselves online and offline, you know, lots of different ways. So as far as the number of hats I wear, I don't know, way too many probably.
Yes, definitely. Now, I will have to say, I was beyond impressed when I read that you have six kids.
We do. We have a whole gaggle of children, as I tell people. But, you know, life now is very easy compared to how it was when they were much younger. You know, it's very different when your kids are 11 to 24 than when they're newborn to 13. You know, the interactions are different. The troubles and trials and tribulations are different. So I feel like we're very blessed to have such a large family, and things are so much easier now than when they were little. So it's all been wonderful.
I bet. I just cannot imagine. I was trying to put out my second book last year with my son, who wasn't quite one at the time, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, when does she find time to tie her shoe, let alone, you know, turn out books and host all of these other organizations and things? Oh, my goodness, you are Wonder Woman. I hope you wear gold bangles and a gold headband on a daily basis, because I'm amazed.
Well, I have to tell you, I have more respect for people like you who are writing when their children are so young. I was not able to do that. I couldn't write full-time until my youngest went to kindergarten, because I'm not the kind of person who can write in fits and spurts, and I can't write at midnight. I don't go to bed until almost 1 o'clock in the morning, but I can't imagine trying to be, you know, coherent enough to write a book at 11 o'clock at night. So for me, I had to wait until my youngest was in kindergarten, and then the minute I put him on the bus, I sat down at my computer, and my schedule's been the same ever since. While the kids are in school, I do my writing. So, you know, that's what works for me.
Awesome. So at what point did you know you wanted to be a writer?
Well, I wish that I could say it was when I was very young, but it wasn't. It was when, let me think, my second oldest son was about a year and a half old, and all of a sudden I got just this overwhelming urge to write. And I know that sounds very strange, but I put him down for a nap, and this story just, like, poured out of me. So that was, he is 22, so that was about 21 years ago. Roughly. And at that point, I knew I wanted to write, but I couldn't write full-time. We couldn't afford for me not to work full-time. So it took several years before I was able to actually start writing full-time.
Do you remember what was the first story or novel, first little thing that you started writing once you had that epiphany of, oh, my goodness, I want to be a writer?
Yes, I do. I do. It didn't have a name. The story didn't have a name, but it kind of was one of these things where it mirrored parts of my life at the time, and it was about a woman who had children, and she took her children to work with her. I never completed that. That was the one that I started and kind of tried to do as my kids were younger, but it was just, it was too hard for me to try and piecemeal it together, and then when I finally started working writing full-time, that story had come and gone. You know, I wasn't feeling it the way that I had 10 years earlier.
Okay. I can understand that. I'll have poems in my head, and I'll just kind of start doing a little bit, and then if I don't finish it and I come back to it later, I've had things that I've written, and then in a year's time when I'm ready to put out a book, I'm like, yeah, I'm not really connected with you anymore, so you're not going to make the cut, unfortunately. But it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, it's always sort of what you feel, you know, for me anyway. I have to feel the characters. I have to feel the story. It's the passion has to be there at the time, or I can't write that particular story.
Understandable. I completely understand that. And to me, this, you know, and this is my opinion, that always to me tells me what type of writer a person is about how you feel about what you're writing and if that impacts at all what you're willing to put out there versus the writers who, I would say, not necessarily just say write for money, but just sort of put anything out there, are authors and no disrespect to them. But it sort of says to me something different about the type of writer that they are if they're turning out books every month. And I'm seeing writers like that who their name is on a book every month. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, either you never sleep or every single thing you write is published.
Well, and I, for me anyway, I think that you have to go, I personally have to go through editing processes and polishing, you know, of the novel. So writing alone takes weeks to do. And then to get it properly edited, I wouldn't put a book out unless it was properly edited. I can't imagine publishing a book every 4 to 6 weeks. That doesn't make sense to me time-wise, chronologically. But I haven't read the people's books who are doing that, so I can't comment on theirs, on their work or their quality.
Yeah, it's nothing about the quality. It's just simply the type of writer. There are different types of poets out there. And I'm one of those poets who I only write about things that I personally connect to. There are other poets that are able to just write in general about anything and have no connection with it. It's nothing at all
right.
Against the topic. It's just the type of writer that you are. And
yeah.
I was,
yeah, and it sounds like we're similar, very emotional writers.
Yeah, definitely have to connect with everything. And, you know, with that, I don't know, there's just, it's like a baby. Everything I write is like giving birth, literally.
Right. I agree with that.
So tell me about your first book.
The first one that was published or the first one that I wrote? The first one that I published was Megan's Way, but it wasn't actually the first book that I wrote. Chasing Amanda was the first one that I wrote, but I set it aside to write Megan's Way. Megan's Way came to me. Actually, Megan's Way stemmed from something that happened with my mother, so it's a very personal and emotional story for me, and it was not an easy situation, and the situation had festered for just a number of years before I came to write Megan's story, and when Megan presented herself to me, she was just too powerful of a character to turn away, and so at the time when this event happened with my mother. I was very young. I did have two children of my own, but I was in my 20s and immediately reverted into sort of the selfish teenager. I don't want to tell you the crust of what the story was about because it will ruin it for the people who haven't read it. But having that fester for so many years and being able to go through the emotional ride of dealing with what I had to deal with let me come out on the other side and understand some of the decisions that had been made at the time. So Megan's Way is a story of a mother, a single mother, and her 14-year-old daughter, and the mother's cancer comes back and it's terminal, and she needs to make a decision on if she's going to have treatments and extend her life or if she's going to let herself let the disease take her. And it's a really emotional book, but it is very hopeful. And then, of course, Megan has a circle of friends, and they're all shrouded in secrets. Everybody's got their own secret going on. So the book ends up being causing readers to be very introspective about secrets and things that we carry with us and how they impact our lives. Some secrets bond us together. Other ones tear us apart. So that's how the story of Megan's Way came to be.
Okay, and so that was the first one that was published, but Chasing Amanda is the first one that you wrote?
Yes, and excuse me, when I first wrote it, it was called The Knowing, and it didn't become Chasing Amanda until right before I published it, but Chasing Amanda was the first one that I wrote. I was a runner for years, and I used to run down this very creepy old rural road called White Ground Road, which is actually noted in the book. And I was running there one day, and it's surrounded by woods. And if you run by yourself, it's very scary because you could run and get picked up by somebody and nobody would ever know. And so, of course, I'm looking at the woods, and I start thinking about what if somebody dragged me into the woods, and could somebody ever find me, and, you know, what would I do, how would I react? So my mind just kind of went crazy, and I came up with this story of that is Chasing Amanda. Of the disappearance of a little girl, and that's the one that I actually had written first.
Okay. They both sound extremely interesting to me. I'm just like, the Megan's Way, I'm like, wow, that really sounds like a good story. And then as soon as you started talking about Chasing Amanda, like, it caught my attention because I'm a huge Criminal Minds fan, and they are always trail, you know, someone's running in the trail, and, you know, they're looking for this one little clue of it. I'm like, oh, man, these both have, like, they have my attention. So,
well, both of them also have a paranormal slant to them. Chasing Amanda is actually about a woman who was sort of a sometimes clairvoyant. She had no control over her powers or her spiritual, you know, visions that she had. And she had witnessed an abduction, but she didn't know it was an abduction. And 3 days later, the little girl's body was found. And so she spirals into a depression. She moves out of the city into the safety of a small town. And 9 years later, another child is taken, you know, disappears. And at that point, her clairvoyance comes back, and it's full on, you know. So she has to make a decision if she's going to risk her family and her life and everything that she loves to go and help find this girl. So it's a very powerful story. I like to say it's every, and I do believe it's like every parent's worst nightmare. I mean, we all worry about losing our children, you know, and not being able to find them, and that's really what Chasing Amanda is about.
That's very interesting. That is definitely, that's a story. That is every parent's worst nightmare. Oh, my goodness. So what is the third book?
Well, the third one is called Come Back to Me, and that is, I came up with the premise for this the summer before my husband was deployed to Iraq. He was a military physician at the time. And so, again, I was running because I come up with my ideas a lot when I'm running. I was running, and I started thinking about what it would be like if he did not come back. And so I took that a little further and thought, well, what if he didn't come back? And I was told he was dead, but he wasn't really dead. And that's how I came up with the story for Come Back to Me. The Come Back to Me is about a young couple. The husband is a photographer, and he wants to get international exposure. So he takes on an assignment to go and photograph families in Iraq after the war to see how the war had impacted them. And his helicopter is shot down in the middle of the desert. So his wife is told that he's dead, that he did not survive. And she finds out she's pregnant and tries to rebuild her life. You know, she doesn't believe he's dead, and then she accepts it and she tries to rebuild her life. And in the meantime, he is found in the desert by two Iraqi women. One of them has three young children, and they are escaping honor killings. And so he takes a trek through the desert, injured, you know, with these women and these children, and with the help of an underground organization to get them out of the country, he comes back to the United States. And I'm not going to say any more about what happens, but this is romantic suspense. But it's not your typical happily ever after story. And it was picked up by USA Today's book blog, and unfortunately that's really a romance book blog, so people expect the happily ever after ending. And this is very different, so I will put that warning out there to all the readers.
Okay, well, we definitely appreciate that, but I don't like when a story is so predictable, and once you said it wasn't, you know, it's not your typical happily ever after, I was like, oh, my goodness, then I must read it now, because I love that. I like a little twist. I like a little twist. And those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk Radio with your host, Kay Sherrell, and I've had the pleasure of talking to none other than best-selling author Melissa Foster. And unfortunately, our time is leaving us quickly, but we're going to savor every moment. So, Melissa, I would like to ask you, why is writing not enough? You write, you help other
that's
writers.
That's a great question.
You do all of that. Why is that not enough?
That's such a great question. I've never been asked that before. Writing is what I want to do. It's what I love. But what happened was, as I was, I published in 2009. And at that time, there was nobody reaching out to help me with anything. Now, in 2010, I met MJ Rose, and she has been a tremendous help to me. But I really had nobody to help show me the ropes and show me how to publish and how to market and what to do to grow a business around your marketing. And so I promised myself, after MJ had helped me learn some things, and I actually wrote to Jodi Picoult, if you can imagine that. I mean, who does that? So I wrote to her, and she answered some questions for me. And at that point, I said, well, I don't want other people to have to flounder. So just like they both were able to answer my questions, I promised myself at that point that from then on, anything that I learned, I would keep information in a readily available venue somehow to connect with other authors who are going through the same thing. My goal is that authors should never have to flounder. So for me, it's that whole give-back side of my personality. I have this personality where, yes, I love what I'm doing, but if I can help others do it and help them in an easier fashion than I had, that's what I want to do. So I pay everything forward. So it's not that writing isn't enough. It's that I don't like to see people flounder, and I never want to tell somebody I can't help. If I have the time, energy, and knowledge, why not share it? So that's why. I always feel like there's something more that we can be giving to other people, so why not do it? It doesn't hurt me to help other people.
Oh, wow, I love that. Giving back, that's a big thing. And that is part of probably why you've been, you know, so successful with your ventures and things in life, because we definitely receive back what we put out. And the spirit of giving is always a great thing to put. So
yeah,
I
believe that.
Oh, definitely. So what is your greatest accomplishment?
Wow. It has nothing to do with writing. I mean, my greatest accomplishment is my kids and family, I think. You know, I think if everything else in the world fell away and I was left with just my family, that's my greatest accomplishment. Everything else is just sort of icing on the cake.
I completely agree. I feel the exact same way about my husband and my son. You know, that's what, at the end of the day, and I had this conversation with a friend earlier this morning, I said, at the end of the day, you can lose everything but family. The loss of family outside of, you know, sickness and death is a choice. You know,
right.
You can lose money, you can lose your fame. I said, but you have family, and that's what you should put stock in. I love that. The mother of six and a wife, I think you are a very accomplished woman. Very, very
accomplished. Thank you.
I do hope that they're very proud of you. So when it's all said and done and everything is over for you in this world, what would you like for your kids to remember about their mom?
Two things, that I was happy 99% of the time and that I always helped other people. And I think they do know that, and I think they do, that's what they think about, and, you know, that's how they feel about me.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. Yes, I love that your email is Think Happy.
Yes,
your email.
Think Happy Girl. I'm a bit addicted to being an optimist.
Oh, I love it. The glass is always half full. You can always make lemonade out of those lemons.
Absolutely.
I love it. That's definitely some beautiful, positive energy. And those of you who have stayed with me this entire time, unfortunately, our time is leaving us so fast, I cannot stand it. But before we completely get off the air, Melissa, I would like for you to tell everyone where they can find out more information on you and where they can buy your book.
Absolutely. Thank you. So you can stalk me at my website, which is melissafoster.com, and you can find all of my books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and on IndieBound, Kobo also, and iTunes. I'm on Twitter, Melissa_Foster, and I'm on Facebook, of course, Melissa Foster Author. But if you go to my website, melissafoster.com, you'll find all the social links that you can stalk me on, Goodreads, everything.
Excellent. And I love that you said you can stalk me on those. That is so cute. I love that. No one's ever said that before.
Well, I have to tell you, I absolutely love talking with you. Thank you. And I love talking with readers. And I love hearing from readers. So I'm that person that if a reader sends me a note, I send them one back, and, you know, 10 minutes later, and then we're in this deep discussion. So for me, stalking is a good thing.
Love it, love it. So those of you who would like to find out more information on Melissa and find her book, definitely go to melissafoster.com. You can also find her on Facebook and Twitter. And if you have trouble finding her, you go to me first, and she is one of my friends and one of the followers on Twitter. So you definitely should be able to connect with her. And if you're still having trouble, just send me an email, and I will put you in touch. Melissa, thank you so much for joining me today. I have enjoyed this interview, I think, so much. I wish I had another 30 minutes to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it. And get in contact with me anytime. I'd love to chat.
All right. Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So Real Talk Radio is leaving us so quickly. I am so, so sorry that I have to leave you, but I promise I will be back next week on the air with none other than best-selling author Manswell Peterson. I love you all. Be safe. Be loved. Be productive.
Come talk about you. Come talk about me. Come talk about I. Come talk about me. Come talk about you. Come talk about me. 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 Come talk about I. Come talk about me. Come talk about you. Come talk about me. Come talk about I. Come talk about you. Come talk about me. Come talk about I. Come talk about you. Come talk about me. Come talk about I. Come talk about you. Come talk about me. Come talk about I. Come talk about you. Come talk about me. Come talk about I. Come talk about you.